hello there. It's a new week, and we are pleased that you've joined us on the Monday edition of the Sportsline Podcast. I'm Bubba O'Neill. Hey, if you're checking us out for the very first time, this is the place where we chat and get very personal with the best that Southern Ontario, and in particular, the Golden Horseshoe, has to offer when it pertains to athletes, coaches, officials, and in today's case, an owner and operator. Growing up on a broccoli farm just outside of Greater Hamilton, this individual wanted to blaze his own trail and do his own thing. His original focus, sports management at Durham College, which set him up with a huge opportunity at Wasserman, which is a successful marketing agency that handles major sporting events such as the RBC Canadian Open. We know all about that tournament. It's coming here soon. Hey, in a full circle career move, Barry returned to the business that his father made famous just years prior, and has made Copetown Woods Golf Course one of the most successful family businesses in the country. Barry Forbes, this is awesome. I'm like really pleased for you to join us here. You've got a story that I think so many people need to know about.
Yeah, I don't know how many people need to know, but let's tell it anyway.
Yeah, and you know what? Let's go right here with this broccoli farm. Wow. Is this something I had no, I mean, I've been to your course. I've known nothing about this. Barry Brand Ice Broccoli. What is this all about?
So growing up, so my dad and uncle, they were business partners. So they started farming and moved to, you know, where I grew up in the 70s. And so I was born in 78. So 1984, they wanted to start producing enough. They wanted to start selling to grocery stores as opposed to delivering to the markets. And, you know, there's a lot of work involved in that. And so they wanted to start selling to grocery stores. So in order to do so, they had to provide enough volume to be able to make that deal. And so what they decided was they would specialize in broccoli. And so I'm the youngest of five. I have four older sisters. My name happened to start with a B, I guess. And so I was five at the time. That was the birth of Barry Brand Broccoli. And that was sold in grocery stores locally, you know, in Southern Ontario from mid-80s up until when my dad sold the farm in 2014.
I had no idea that broccoli was born, that was grown in Ontario. I'm going to tell you, that's how dumb I am. I mean, to think that actually this was going on in our very own area.
Oh, yeah. I mean, broccoli in this area is huge. And it was great for us, especially when we built the golf course. So, you know, we took 200 acres of the golf course that wasn't conducive to growing vegetables based on the soil type. We then, you know, so we opened the golf course. We still farmed. When I say we, my dad and my uncle.
Sure.
I had zero, you know, business being called a farmer. And I happened to grow up on a farm. And that was the extent of it. But they farmed, you know, for the first 11 years, the golf course was open. And the margins on broccoli soup and salad were incredible when mm-hmm. we could just take it right out of our own field. And mm-hmm. But we currently, you know, still bring in local broccoli when it's in season from our cousins right up the road. We bring in, as you know, local broccoli from them.
So your father was operating, or I guess began the beginnings of a golf course and was doing broccoli at the same time?
That's correct. Yeah. So the first conversation of building a golf course came in the late 90s. I think I was in my second year of college. And, as you'd mentioned, I went to Durham College for sports management, no interest in farming. He brought the idea to me of, you know, what do you think of this? So he had farmed his whole life. When he turned 50, that was kind of the time when he started golfing, played baseball, blew out his knee, didn't really have a lot of time to golf, but then wanted to do something more, got into golf. And then basically, you know, she said, you know, we've got this piece of property right now, doesn't provide a great yield. What else can we do with it? And so, you know, as he went around and saw, you know, different places, he said, well, you know, I could do this myself. And we finally got the approvals, and first bulldozer was on the ground in 2002. And we opened 14 months later in June of 2003, fully on common sense. We had no experience in golf, zero really idea. But at the end of the day, you go to a golf course, you go to a restaurant. What do you like? What don't you like? What's good? What's bad? You know, from a turf standpoint, from a food standpoint, service, there's no rocket science involved in it. It literally is just common sense. And we still do that, you know, run it like that today.
That's a wonderful story. And I mean, I think so many people probably don't even know that. And I think in that area, too, I think of right now where we are presently in the Golden Horseshoe, Oakville, Burlington, Hamilton, Ancaster. There's golf courses everywhere. Yeah. Was your course one of the only ones up in that area?
No. I mean, we're I would say we're probably one of the newest to be built in this area. You know, that was that kind of, you know, mid-90s boom of when Tiger started and late-90s boom. And I would say we were kind of maybe, I guess, on the back end of that. And it certainly wasn't, you know, because of Tiger. It wasn't because of that boom. And, mm-hmm. I mean, to, I guess, a certain extent, maybe it was because there was a market for it. There was a need for it. And there was, you know, the demand for golf at that time. But we're one of the newer golf courses. I mean, we're now, you know, in our 21st year of operating. And mm-hmm. And so there hasn't been a lot new built since then. So, yeah, we're still kind of one of the newer ones.
You said something along the line there that you said you had no interest in any of this. You wanted to blaze your own trail, I guess, and you sports marketing was something that that really interested you.
Yep.
But why did you want to move on and do something different?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I was just, you know, didn't want to get the dirt under my fingernails of being a farmer, but you know, I always had a passion for sports, and so that was the, you know, that was the goal, is to do something that I loved every day. You know, I enjoyed playing sports and being part of it and being part of a team. And so, yeah, went to Durham College, took the sport management program there. And it was great. It was, you know, it was something that I enjoyed. And so if you're speaking of a business course or a marketing course, you're taking that with a sports kind of twist to it. And so, yeah, it was great. And so out of college, I started working and managing some privately owned sports facilities, kind of in the hockey baseball side of things. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, the year before we built the golf course, I moved to, you know, came back and started working outside and, you know, with our superintendent at the time to grow it in. Mm-hmm. And then once the snow started flying, I moved back in and moved inside our office, which we didn't have a clubhouse at the time. So I was working out of our office at our farm. And, mm-hmm. Yeah, just to get everything ready to go for kind of opening season. And at the time, the clubhouse was being built, and we built the clubhouse and opened clubhouse, golf course, everything all at the same time, June 2nd, 2003.
So, okay, that's interesting. But in that time, when you were, you know, just now graduate and you're getting to Wasserman's and you're, you know, actually with a big agency here, and some big things happened to you locally, which I thought which is really cool.
Yeah, so kind of fast forward. So we opened the golf course 2003. So, you know, fast forward 6 years, almost 7 years, a neighbor of mine, her name is Leslie Watson. She came to me with the question of our kids played on the street. They, you know, played road hockey on the street. My oldest was three at the time. And she came to me with the question of if I had ever heard of this, you know, program called Kraft Hockeyville. And so I said, yeah, I've heard of it. I, you know, watch hockey and Hockey Night in Canada. And so I've seen it before and know what it is. And she asked me if I would help her do it. And, you know, she had put Dundas in the year before, didn't really get any traction. And so, you know, within, you know, running a golf course in our area, I knew some, you know, people in media and I knew certain, you know, people. One of the, you know, people that's sat on this couch a couple times, Don Robertson, who's kind of the king of hockey in our area. He's a good family friend. And so, you know, I had conversation. I said, let me just chat with some people. Let me just see where we can go from here. And so, as I started to have some different conversations with guys like Don and some different media people and local politicians, I could see that we could get some traction with it. And so I kind of took this thing on, you know, working at the golf course, had a, you know, a 3-year-old, a 1-year-old, and my wife was pregnant at the time, took this thing on and almost like a full-time job, but as a volunteer. And so, yeah, move forward to, you know, April 3rd, 2010, and Gary Bettman came on Hockey Night in Canada, and we were all in the rink in Dundas at J.L. Greitmeyer Market Street Arena, and I was, you know, mic'd up with Ron McLean just in case we won. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just in case. It was five towns, you know, that out of 950 towns, mm-hmm. we were down to the top five, and so we had a full crew there. I was mic'd up with Ron McLean. And yeah, Gary Bettman came on and announced Dundas, Ontario as the winner of Kraft Hockeyville 2010, and which was, you know, probably the coolest thing that had ever happened, you know, to me in my, you know, not my, that wasn't my career, but kind of what I wanted, what I loved doing.
They never gave you a hint that you were going to win.
We had no idea. No. When they started setting up all the lights and everything, I kind of had an inkling, you know, but it's like, well, maybe they're doing this everywhere else. And all five were set up, you know, were, you know, shown on broadcast. And so you could see that, you know, everybody was like that. And now I look back at it now and think, you know, see the signs, the telltale signs of what could happen. And, and yeah, so I mean, it was amazing. So we won that. So we won $100,000 for arena upgrades to JL Greitmeyer Arena, which at the time was on the closure list with the city. So the city had planned to close it, and then we gave them, you know, 100,000 reasons to keep it open, along with what is probably the coolest part and the coolest experience for so many people, is that we hosted the Sabres and Senators on September 28th, 2010, in a preseason game. At Market Street, 979 seats. I counted every one. And it was the most incredible experience that, yeah, probably still the most incredible experience that I've been part of. And remembered for, you know, for years. And, you know, this week we've got, you know, Don and his crew are hosting the Allen Cup Challenge. And, yeah, I mean, what's, you know, stemmed from that, you know, turned into a multi-million-dollar renovation to the arena. And my kids, you know, my two boys played, you know, they played hockey there for the Dundas Blues all the way through. And yeah, it was incredible. It was incredible. So
that, and that's great. I mean, and again, it's a reminder that a lot of all of that was volunteer work. And I mean, and obviously you were recognized in the community for all you did. And and I think for you, that's got to be, is it, I don't know if I won't put words in your mouth, but it's special to be able to give back in your community.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's, I grew up across the road from the golf course. I grew up out there, but I went to high school in Dundas, and my wife is from Dundas. And so, yeah, to do something in the community, it's always awesome. And if you can do something that you're passionate about and whatever, you know, things people volunteer for or donate to, it's all amazing. And it's kind of what makes the world go around. But if you can do something that you combine your passion and something that you can kind of see come to fruition, but then you can watch your kids kind of take part in it. You know, my oldest son, Declan, him and his friends, the very first time they were ever on the ice, so they were the year, the September that the Hockeyville game was played, the very first time they ever stepped foot on the ice was of the day before the Hockeyville game. And so, you know, the fact that they were, you know, that was their first experience in hockey when you've got all these, you know, all of this, the rink board sponsors on the, you know, on the boards and all the TV cameras set up and ready for, you know, ready for a live NHL broadcast. I mean, that's whether they, you know, remember that when they're four or not, that's a pretty cool experience to kind of say you're a part of.
Absolutely. I mean, I, at my age, and I remember when this whole went down here, working here and getting down to the rink and thinking to myself, and Sabres have been my favorite team as a child, and to think that, wow, like this, these pro teams are playing in this little barn.
Yeah.
And then you're looking at the barn and you're like, wow, I mean, I remember it was a little dilapidated. It was kind of, like you said, it was ready to be done.
Yeah.
And to see the refurbishments. And now you said, and it lives today, the fact that we can host a national championship for men's AAA senior hockey right now for back-to-back years in this beautiful rink. It's a wonderful thing. So, hey, congratulations and thank you for all you did for your efforts there. Now, we had Brian Crawford here very recently talking about the RBC Canadian Open coming here to Hamilton. And you also had a part in 2019 at the last time it was here in Hamilton, which I thought was just a successful event.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so coming out of the Kraft Hockeyville experience and seeing, you know, obviously working with the NHL and Kraft and the NHLPA, and they had an agency that was working on their behalf that was really kind of the go-to for anything. And they were that kind of that middleman and, you know, middle person in between orchestrating everything. And I remember speaking with one of them and I said, this is what you do. Like how do I do this? Like, this is amazing. And so, you know, it was that moment that, you know, I had said to my dad, I said, you know, right away, but you know, I'd said like, it's something that I want to go and do. I want to try. I want to, you know, and I didn't want to ever be the person of, you know, he only works here because his dad owns it. I had no interest in doing that or being that person. And so knowing a couple people in the industry, you know, I put it out, reached out and, you know, was fortunate enough to start in 2013 at Wasserman, which is a one of the biggest, if not the biggest now, global sports marketing agencies. And so started there in 2013 through 19, and specifically the last 4 years I was there, I was overseeing RBC's global golf portfolio. And so,
which is huge.
Which is huge. It's a massive portfolio. Obviously we know here locally the RBC Canadian Open as sponsor, the title sponsor of that, the RBC Heritage, which just actually was this past weekend, and then anywhere ranging between 16 to 22 PGA and LPGA players as ambassadors, and so managing really that whole portfolio. And so, yeah, so 2019 at Hamilton was amazing. It was kind of the first time that RBC X Music kind of tied in, their music portfolio into the golf tournament. Mm-hmm. So to have a really cool, unbelievable concert element to the tournament was amazing. And Florida Georgia Line playing, which is, it was a huge deal for people locally. So mm-hmm. what it did, it kind of got, it wasn't just golf fans. You didn't need to be a diehard golf fan to come to the event. Mm-hmm. You could buy, a general admission ticket to the tournament, and that got you into the concert. So never before, I don't think that I ever see, people with belt buckles and cowboy boots at a PGA Tour event. but the day of Florida Georgia Line concert, that's kind of what you saw. And it was cool. It provided an entirely new element and maybe brought a bit of a new demographic to see how good these players are and how cool of an event it is. And for a lot of people going into the gates of Hamilton Golf and Country Club, where you drive by it on golf links and you kind of see through the ivy on the fence there, what it kind of looks like, but to get in there on that property
it's
and
beautiful,
see what it's like in a, golf course that's 100 years old that, still kind of stands up to, obviously the best players in the world.
And that had to have been a lot of fun because that music element, that's something that's never going away, which I think is so cool because you're right. And Brian said that, the fact that, there's going to be people that are golfers that want to see a rock concert, and if there's people who want to see a rock concert, they're going to see some golf too. It's just a winning combination. And I think that's you're bringing in some big names every year. It just seems to get bigger and bigger. And this year we got guys like Josh Ross with some local talent as well too. So I think that's just an amazing association and putting together. Now, the part that really interests me is you're doing your own thing now. You've become a bit of a success here. And you're comfortable, but yet you come back full-time to the golf course.
Yeah.
What was the thinking there?
Yeah, it was always from the day that I first had that discussion with my dad, it was always, to go and do something, but always come back. And it was, obviously it turned into a passion for me to be able to, operate our own, family business. The fact that it was in golf, I loved it. And so it was the time I spent away, it was traveling and going to golf courses, some of the best golf courses in North America that we would run events at, that whether it's an extremely exclusive golf course in, Jupiter, Florida, or mm-hmm. it's Copetown Woods, there's a lot of things that you can do that you can do the same that don't cost any more. And there's a lot of things they do that do cost more that we're not even going to attempt. But it was the nice thing was to be able to kind of bring some of those ideas back. And so the plan to come back was always there. It was just, what is the right time? And it just seemed to be the right time. And, timing is everything, they say. And it couldn't have worked out any better for me personally. And I think the golf, our golf course. So as I left, it was December 2019 that I made my return. So kind of getting everything ready to go, planning for, opening 2020, and then COVID hits. Mm-hmm. Nobody had any idea what that was going to do for golf, for any business, for whatever. And, as it turns out, if you were in the business of face masks, plexiglass, or golf courses, you benefited from COVID. And I'll be the first to admit that, that we've been lucky, with how things have changed and how the popularity of the sport, the amount of new golfers that have come in. Mm-hmm. At the time, it was one of the only things you could do. And there was a period of time in the first, 2020 and 2021, where we, even as golf courses, couldn't open. We had to stay closed for a month. And but as, people started playing more golf, new golfers coming in, existing golfers, that were playing more. And so, that made us extremely busy. And I think as an industry, we've definitely been lucky for it. And I think for the most part, from other golf courses and, golf course owners, I think everybody understands that and haven't gotten greedy. There are some stories out there of golf courses that tried to jack their rates up. And, we're not one of them. Obviously, at the end of the day, expenses go up, wages go up, price of gas goes up, food costs go up. Things have to evolve over time. And we have put our rates up a little bit over the last few years, but not to the extent of, we haven't priced ourselves out. We're not pricing anybody out of being able to come and play.
That's reality, right? That's the reality where we are right now. I mean, it's $7 for a head of cauliflower now, right? That's just reality, the way life is right now. And I think about, you brought up COVID, and I thought it was so interesting because this is where I really started to notice you on social media. I'm not saying you were attacking the provincial government, but you were letting the public know some things that you thought were fair and not fair.
Yeah, and kind of the way I've approached things since I came back to run the golf course, completely open and honest and fully transparent about everything that we're doing and what, I think was, the things that we were going to do to be able to provide a safe experience for people during COVID. Mm-hmm. We were crossing everything off. We were checking all the boxes of making sure that we were doing everything. And obviously being outside, we felt I'm not a doctor, not even close to being smart enough to be one, but we operate on common sense, and so the things that we were doing was to really kind of build off of that and again create a safe experience. And so one of the things, one good example of some of the things that we were doing is outside of communicating that to, not speaking to the government because they probably don't pay attention to little old Copetown Woods, but at least making our golfers understand what we're doing, right? And how we're going to make it safe for them. But during that time period where we weren't able to open, the one thing that you could do is that you could get takeout food. You're allowed to go in and pick up takeout food from restaurants or what have you. Locally within the city here, the municipal golf courses, the city was allowing people to use King's Forest as and Shadoke as green space. So if you want to go out and walk and enjoy the green space, great. Yeah. So I said to my chef and superintendent, we've got both. So why don't we run picnics? So we did for two weekends in a row, we ran picnics on the golf course, which is hilarious. It was the funniest thing, literally seeing families come out. And we said to families, let your kids bring out sand toys. Go and play in the bunkers. We just asked to stay off the greens and stay away from the ponds. Mm-hmm. But we had, hundreds of people out there, and we capped it. We didn't want to have too many people because we didn't want it to be we didn't know what it was going to feel like or look like.
But everyone wanted to get outside.
Everyone wanted to get outside, and, we were turning people away left, right, and center, and we turned into, this picnic, location, which was so funny and weird. And, I think it was the third weekend in a row we were going to do it, and we had, the demand was insane, mm-hmm. and so we had so many people booked. And then all of a sudden the government said, you can open 2 days before. Mm-hmm. We're all and then at that point it's no offense to you picnicker, but
off the course, please.
Get out of here. We need to make some money. And for golf. And once we opened up for that first time after COVID, mm-hmm. we didn't know what to expect. And the onslaught that ensued of, how busy it was going to be and continues to be. And I think overall I think industry-wide, it's probably plateaued and maybe kind of gone down a little bit. And I try to continue to do new things and run different events and cool events. And, the marketing of our social, basically through marketing through our social media channels. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that, that I'm not afraid to do is I'm not afraid to look stupid or make fun of myself. And and I think, anytime I do a video if I look really stupid, it gets more views. And so just trying to keep us top of mind and we just kind of continue to move forward.
Well, I love this. I think this is so modern. This is the way to look at things. And I think if you do have a sense of humor, like you certainly do. And I think we sometimes take ourselves too seriously and have got to have a little laugh with ourselves. ourselves and laugh at ourselves at that. And I love that you seem to have been able to associate certain local celebrities and stuff, get them on the golf course. Yep. I mean, look at this. Like, I mean, what is going on with you? I mean, that's Paul Levi Mitchell, right? That's a professional quarterback, and you are on a green and dropping passes. Like, what is going on?
Yeah, but like absolute water.
It's Duffy over there too, isn't it?
And Duffy, yeah, Duffy snapping the ball to Bo. And so, again, so in my, you know, my time at Wasserman, the first thing, one of the first things I did at Wasserman, Shaw Communications was my client. And we negotiated a deal for them to become the presenting partner of the Grey Cup. Mm-hmm. And once we did that, then we ended up getting them to create a team Shaw. And so we had one player off every CFL mm-hmm. team that we would go, I would travel around and shoot content with. And so Bo was one of the guys that when he was in Calgary, I did, you know, got to know him and worked closely with him for 3 years. And he was the first shoot that I ever did. And we were at McMahon Field mm-hmm. and found out that he loved golf. Mm-hmm. And so we were doing things that weren't football related, you know, tell us about the city, you know, the restaurants you love in the city, or where do you like to go with your family, or what else do you like to do? And he loved to golf. Mm-hmm. So we had him hitting a wedge from the other end zone through the uprights, 100 yards, 110 yards.
That's cool.
So when the announcement came that he was coming to Hamilton, mm-hmm. I sent him a note and I said, man, like I know you love golf, and we're 20 minutes from Tim Hortons Field. So mm-hmm. would love to have you out. And so anyway, so he comes out and plays, you know, obviously in the off season, and he comes out and plays, and yeah, he's been out a couple times already this year. He's good.
Really already?
He's a good player.
Is he good?
He's a good player. I mean, I don't know that he's going to make a career out of it.
Yeah.
But he's good. And so, yeah, to have guys like him out and mm-hmm. and have some fun with, and yeah, it's good.
Well, and all those guys that I've heard, I mean, they always talk about your golf course as the course to go out there, and I think that is just so amazing. And I often wonder. I'm like, I wonder if it's a social media engagement that has gotten the interest of so many other people to say, hey, go to Copetown. A lot of my friends, you've got a couple of friends of mine that are members as well too, that they love your course, and that it's they say it's a big time, it plays big, it plays like pro style, but yet there's this sort of hometown feel to your course, and I don't think you can make that up.
Yeah, it's, you know, one of the things that I, when I came back to run the golf course just over 4 years ago, you know, I sat down with my dad the very first time, you know, first day that I was back, and I said, okay, you know, this, and this need to change. Mm-hmm. He said, you've been here for 5 minutes, and you've been here for 10 minutes, and you've told me there's five things wrong with the place. I said, well, buckle up, because I'm going to tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. Mm-hmm. And one of those was I hate using the term vibe and culture, and but spending 7 years at a sports marketing agency where, you know, we were working downtown in the financial district, and, you know, we're going up the elevator in jeans and, you know, Chuck Taylors and T-shirts, and we're with, you know, with lawyers in, you know, three-piece suits. And that vibe and culture in a sports marketing agency office to, you know, a smaller, lesser degree, bring that feeling back and make it a place where people want to come and work. I mean, you're working at a golf course. Like, it's a great place to work. You know, I always say this to my staff. We're fortunate to be in a business where people are coming to play our golf course, whether they're coming to play the golf course or they're coming to eat, whatever it is, anybody that is coming to our golf course, they're away from work. They're away from their chores at home. And as a golfer, every time you go and play golf, you go in the driveway and you think, today is my day. I might get a hole in one today. Mm-hmm. I'm going to shoot my best score today. Yep. Now they're going to go out and, like, you know, triple bogey the first hole, and, you know, they may be a terrible, I don't care. It doesn't matter. But I say to my staff, they come in with that feeling and that excitement to be at our golf course, at our business. If we can leave them feeling just as good or better, mm-hmm. then we've done our job. And so everybody's coming in, and it's the easiest job in the world, because everybody's excited. They're so happy to be there. And you know, especially now we're, you know, in April. I mean, it could, you know, there was ice pellets, you know, hitting people in the face on Saturday, and we had 180 golfers playing. Like, I mean, I don't pay for golf, and I wouldn't play, but, you know, well, you know
they want to be out
more
there.
More power to them if they want to be out there. But so that feeling of, you know, just, and it's not Mr. O'Neill. It's Mr. O'Neill, welcome to Copetown Woods. And there are places that do that, and there are times and places that you can, you know, that makes sense. That doesn't That doesn't make sense at Copetown Woods. We're not trying to pretend we're something that we're not. We're a public golf course that we built on a broccoli farm that we run by based on common sense. And it's, you know, it's not Mr. O'Neill, welcome to Copetown Woods. Bubba, great to see you, man. Hey, listen, out of bounds to the right of the first hole. If you lose a sleeve, come back in and see me and I'll sell you another one, right? It's that conversation. And I can have that conversation easier, said like that than
for
others.
Sure.
But there's a lot of the turnover in our staff after, you know, we made some changes after the first year I was back. And the percentage of turnover has never been better. We have, you know, some of our servers, you know, girls that work in our restaurant and patio that typically that's a 1 or 2 year job. And then they kind of move on, do something else. We have a lot of them that are back for their fourth year now.
Wonderful.
You know, and our management team that we kind of, you know, added some pieces to when I, you know, the first year that I was there, they're still with us. And so when you get that, you give people a great feeling, a great place to work.
Mm-hmm.
That carries on and you know, trickles down to the customers.
Absolutely.
And so your friends that are members at other private clubs, it's great to be able to go and play there, but to be able to come over and play a place that is maybe a little bit more low key, you know, can have a little fun, can let their hair untuck their shirt and, you know, and play some music on the golf course.
On a very classy looking place too,
right.
But all of that as well.
Absolutely.
Too. That's a wonderful thing that you've got mixed in there and it's clearly coming there. And as you said, you're right. In the service industry, for people to be hanging around for 4 or 5 years, that says something about the staff. That says something about their happiness.
Yep.
That says something about the clientele that they're serving as well, too.
Exactly.
You know, and Brian said this to me. This really resonated with me when he said this to me, because I never really thought about it. Is golf is the only sport, the only one you can play when you're 10 or if you're 90.
Yep.
I never kind of put that together.
Yeah.
And I mean, and you could get people coming to your golf course for 50 years.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's true. It is. That is the great thing about golf. And, and the nice thing that kind of happened, well, a positive that came out of it for COVID was so many new people decided to try it. And you don't need to be good. You don't need to be you don't need to be a great golfer. You don't need to keep score. Just if you want to go out and just go out and enjoy yourself. And, you know, we do things now where, you know, once we get into kind of more patio season in late May, we'll start doing it again where we do date night, where we put music on the range. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of times what it is, you know, somebody will that, you know, that comes and plays regularly or they're an avid golfer will bring their spouse or their boyfriend or girlfriend out, come out and hit a bucket of balls, music on the range, super casual. If you want to, you know, show up in jeans or whatever, like, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And then come and have dinner on the patio. And, you know, that, you know, let's say it's $60 or $50 or something like that per person. They get that. And, or sorry, it was like, I think last year we were $65, you know, for two people and a shared appetizer, an entree of their choice and a shared dessert. And the range doesn't cost you anything.
Yeah.
It's just come out and then it allows people to see what it's all about. And it's, you know, those people then turn into, well, maybe I'll go play 9 holes. And then they get together with a group of their friends. And, you know, you don't need to golf at 6 in the morning or at noon.
Mm-hmm.
You can go out and play golf at 6 p.m.
Yeah.
Where it's not busy, where there's not as many, you know, eyeballs on you. So if you're a new golfer, to be able to come out and kind of take your time and you know, enjoy that experience. And if you're playing and you hit a couple bad shots, pick up your ball and carry on.
The best in the business hit bad shots.
Absolutely. I mean,
that is for sure. And as you talked about your patio too, and we just showed some pictures here for people that are watching the podcast and not listening to it. The outlook of your patio to the golf course, it's just it is a chill vibe. It's a really, really nice area and a beautiful area to enjoy a couple of pops and,
yep,
you know, a good burger and all that kind of stuff as well. Couple of things before we close out. Let me throw you the pro golf question of,
sure,
of the century, or what we're going on right now. I mean, what are your feelings on the LIV and PGA Tour situation right now?
Yeah, so I'm gonna take this from kind of my level of golf and where I kind of sit in the industry, and I'm fortunate that I left doing what I was doing at Wasserman, managing RBC's golf portfolio prior to any of this stuff happening, because I'm glad I didn't have to deal with it. But from where I sit, you know, let me say, from a fan, I'm still a PGA Tour guy. I think it's a better product. I think, you know, LIV obviously They've got some amazing players over there. Not a fan of the shotgun tournament, the shotgun format, and kind of how they do that side of the, you know, that way of you know, of format. But from a guy that is, you know, running a business in the golf industry, I think it's been good because it's front page news. It's anytime something big happens, there's more discussion of golf. Mm-hmm. And if there's more discussion of golf, then that's more golf in people's heads than then, you know, it's a good thing, I think, for the golf industry. Mm-hmm. From a professional golf standpoint, you know, it's a bit of a mess. And you know, I feel for guys like, you know, people like Brian Crawford and Golf Canada and RBC, because they've been on the losing end of you know, press releases and announcements the last 2 years.
Yes.
You know, it was, you know, 2 years ago, they're, you know, at St. George's was the, you know, head-to-head with the first ever LIV Golf event. Last year, they make this announcement, you know, during the week of the Canadian Open that, you know, they're going to join back together again. And I mean, it's, I don't know that anybody knows what's going on. I think at the end of the day, I feel like they're going to come back together.
Mm-hmm.
What that looks like, I have no idea. And I think from a, you know, again, you know, feeling bad for RBC and other sponsors, I mean, the worst thing in the world is that, you know, LIV has endless amounts of money. And so it's raising purses, it's raising, you know, everything up. And, you know, a company like our, you know, RBC, who should be commended for having two title sponsored events, they're, you know, there's only so much that, yeah, they're a massive bank.
Yeah.
There's only so much they're going to put into golf, right? And there's other sponsors that, you know, they're going to have trouble, you know, getting sponsors to be able to put up enough money to be able to make these purses large enough to be able to keep the players sticking around.
Right.
But it's at the end of the day,
because if Rory, after all he did to protect the PGA,
mm-hmm.
and you know, the stories were out there about the $850 million,
yep.
like, had he become the biggest turncoat in sports ever,
yeah.
I couldn't blame him. $850 million, if that was the number, yeah. is $850 million.
Yeah, you know what? You can buy new friends with that. It's insane. Yeah, no, it's, and yeah, and I mean, from it, and I feel bad for all the PGA Tour players, you know, because at the end of the day, I mean, none of them can win anything when Scottie Scheffler is playing as well as he is anyway,
too,
right?
That's so, too.
You know, it's like four.
Or Nelly Korda.
Four out of five for Scottie. And the one that he didn't win, he tied for second.
Yeah, he's close.
And Nelly, yeah, five in a row.
No.
They're playing a bit of a, they're playing a different game. And, you know, it's fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun to watch because, you know what, they're both people that you can only like them, mm-hmm. you know.
I wish Scottie had a little more personality.
A little bit. I'd love to see a little fist pump, yeah. you know, because yeah, if you're watching on broadcast and you don't know what happened, he could have had a triple bogey or an eagle, and you wouldn't know the difference.
Not quite sure,
right? Yeah, exactly. It's just yeah. No. So
part of his secret sauce, though, I guess.
I suppose so.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Final thing, you know, and it's funny because we've rubbed on this the whole way through, and I by talking to so many people that are sitting where you're sitting right now, I've come to understand, I've come to appreciate that none of the success that any of us really enjoy doesn't come without a good backing, and that's family.
Yeah.
And you've been blessed in that way as well too.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. And, you know, obviously from, you know, a family business and second generation now, and, you know, my kids, I have three kids that are, you know, turning 18, 16, 14 this year. All three of them are working at the golf course this year. You know, and so where they go, what they do, my oldest, you know, he's committed to go to Brock University for sport management next year.
Uh-oh.
Great. And kind of following, you know, when he was old enough to really kind of start grasping what was going on, you know, I was on planes and traveling and running tour events and, you know, hanging out with athletes and running these cool different things. And, so I get it. He's like me. Unfortunate for him, he kind of looks like me too. But he's got a passion for sports, and so he's going to go and doing that. And but the one thing I won't do is, you know, and a lot of people have asked me, is he, you know, he's worked the last like almost 4 years in our back shop managing the golf, you know, doing golf carts and driving range and that. So this year he's working up in the pro shop, which is great. So a lot of people are, you know, is Declan going to, you know, is he going to kind of be next in line? Which, you know, you know, is he going to take over? I'm going to take over. Like, I haven't even taken over. I'm still just an employee myself. And but he, but I said, you know, I want him to go, and all my kids, I'd love for them to go and do what I did and go and find something that you're passionate about. And if it's what you do and what you love and you want to come back, great. But go and do, I've been lucky to be able to do something, you know, that I love all the way through. And, you know, and that my wife, Terry Lynn, you know, she was at home dealing with, you know, three little kids and I'm doing this, that, and everything else. And so, you know, that obviously from, you know, the business side of things and being able to kind of take what, you know, what my dad and my uncle built and carry that on and continue that on. But yeah, it doesn't come, you know, without the backing of my wife at home and, you know, her support to be able to allow me to go and do these things. And, so yeah, it, All of that makes the world go round, and it makes it a fun place to be.
That's got to be pretty cool, because I'm sure your dad sat there and said, okay, the things that Barry said that maybe needed to change, maybe he was right.
No, well, yeah, well, you know, he may think like that now, but what he definitely does think is that both him and my wife share the same thinking. My wife, she stopped. She doesn't even follow Copetown Woods on Instagram anymore because she's embarrassed of half the things that I do. You know, and I get, yeah, I get the same thing from my dad every once in a while. So, but yeah, I say, but, you know, for him, as long as the parking lot's full, he's not going to say anything. So,
Barry, this has been really cool. Congratulations and continued success. Can't wait to get out there. Can't wait to, again, get, I mean, I don't know how good I'm going to do because your course is not difficult, but it's challenging for someone like myself. But to get out there and enjoy, as you said, golf for what it should be enjoyed for, I'm looking forward to it, and I hope you have a great season.
I appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us.
Okay, man.
All right, folks, that's your Sportsline podcast for the day. And as you've just seen and heard, we love talking sports with folks who are making a difference in our area. If you do know of an athlete, team, or event to promote, the Sportsline podcast want to hear from you. Please hit that thumbs up, like, and subscribe button. If you do have something to say, please comment. For the wonderful people that make the Sportsline podcast possible, thank you so much. Hey, we'll see you tomorrow.